Well, welcome everybody. This is just a tremendous opportunity. We get to do this two or three times a year, but what's really neat is that Bryn Tillman gets to do this for our clients at St. Meyer and Hubbard all year long. And the demand has been unbelievable. Bryn has her own company, but January of 2020, we asked her to join us as our EVP of social selling. And what you're going to see is there's an absolute reason. So we're going to talk today about all things LinkedIn. But before we start, I wanted to show you a couple of slides, something that I'm doing that I think you might find to be a little bit interesting. So the first thing is the hashtag rant pack. About 15 years ago, I got a call from a banker who said, you know, you trained me and you rant in class. Why don't you write some things? So I started to write these jack rants on a regular basis. And it got up to be about 1,500 people that I'd send them to over the weekend. And it got a little bit unwieldy. So we put together a private LinkedIn group. It's called hashtag Rant Pack. There are about 400 people in it. And you are absolutely welcome to join this. That's where you'll find some interesting content and some irreverent thoughts from Jack Hubbard for the week. But the next slide is really, really important. And we were talking about this before the program, and I'll be very, very brief. On June 3rd, we start a brand new program called Jack Rants Live. It is a weekly program on Thursday at 11 o'clock Central Time, about a half an hour of your time. We're taking an A, B, C, D approach to this. A is author, best-selling author, first week of the month. B is banking or banker, second week of the month. The third week is C, consultant. And the fourth week is digital. And you'll see our first month's guest there, Bryn, and a great banker called Drew McCone, my friend Mary Beth Sullivan, and then Bryn's going to be with us on June 24th. Now, you got to join June 24th because she's not going to talk about what she's going to discuss today. We're going to discuss all kinds of new things on LinkedIn, and I'm going to drag Clubhouse out of Bryn, and I want her to talk about that on the 24th. So we're very, very thrilled to have Jack Rants Live getting started. And so I want to introduce Bryn. Oh, here come up a few other guests, Meredith Elliott Powell, Eric Cook, my good friend, Shep Hyken, Larry Levine, all kinds of wonderful, wonderful people. And there's a secret guy I'm talking to, thanks to Bryn in Australia, about banks and webinars. So everybody, these next however many minutes we can share together are going to be not only the most fast-paced you've ever experienced, but they're going to be the most practical. Bryn Tillman knows more about LinkedIn than I think almost anybody. And here's the reason why we picked her as part of our team. Knowledge, expertise, experience, and then that very unique capability called integrity. You can trust Bryn with anything, and Bryn is a giving person. And today, for the next however long, I'm going to give it right over to her. Bryn's going to talk to you about all things LinkedIn. Grab your pencil, grab a notepad. Here we go. Welcome back, Bryn.
Thank you. Thank you. You know how much I love doing stuff with you, Jack. So this is way fun. Welcome, bankers. We're thrilled to have you here. This is what we are probably doing today. Random acts of social. We're connecting with people. We're asking for connection. Sometimes we share something. Sometimes we like and engage. And maybe we share a comment or two. But it's random. And if we really want to make LinkedIn work from a social selling perspective, we've got to be a lot more intentional. And we also have to come from a place of giving. So I'd like you to think of social selling is about building relationships, providing real value and being a resource, understanding that the sales will come when the time is right. And we're going to talk this whole program is about positioning and getting ready to get more conversations with LinkedIn. And so I really want it to be clear. It's not necessarily the first conversation on pitching the bank. It's about starting real conversations with human beings. And it could be around many different things that will lead to business down the line. In some cases, it'll be a faster opportunity if in fact that's the case. But just like in real life networking, it can take a little while to build that trust. And remember, and we'll get through this, you know, our biggest competitor is status quo. So it's going to take us a little while to build that know, like, and trust. And so we're going to talk about a lot of that today. So first, let's discuss what does it take to get a conversation? Well, first, we have to earn the right. I can't tell you how many bankers I talked to that said, if they would just take my call, I have so much value to bring. I can help them reposition themselves so that they can get the line of credit they need. I can help them, you know, with exactly what they need before they apply for a commercial loan. I have all that knowledge that even if they didn't work with me, I'm bringing value to the table. But if they're not taking your call today, they don't know it yet. And so it's our job to earn the right. And we earn the right by mastering the ask-offer ratio. The ask-offer ratio is we are asking them for something, usually time. Time to read a message, to read a post, to watch a video, to scan your profile, to... we are asking for their time in exchange for an offer. It is the value of the post. So at the end of their 3 minutes of invested with you, there's one of three reactions. The first one is that was a bait and switch. And that's basically, I sent a very nice networking message to connect with you. And when you accepted, you said, our bank helps companies like you get lines of credit. Like that's a bait and switch, right? We want to stay far, far away from that. Number two is neutral. Neutral is they connect, nothing happens, or you send something that isn't moving. The third one is compelling, and we want to live in compelling. And compelling could be something as simple as a like, an engagement, an accept your connection request, a request to connect, but they do something. They've been compelled to react in a way that we now can start a conversation. They are engaged, and we want to get them there. And the only way to do this, to the best of my knowledge, is to show up as a resource, to bring value to the table. When we do this, we begin to earn the right for them to say, yes, you're worthy of my time. So this is where we have to be careful because we have so much we want to tell them. We can't wait to share a new program that's rolled out because we know that we can help them. We can't wait to, but they're not out there begging for content on new banking solutions. They're not actively looking, most of them, right? If we have someone actively looking, it's a totally different story, but these are passive prospects really that we're talking about. And so when we lead with our solution, it's a pitch and they run and we create what we fear the most, which is being ghosted, right? So we do not want to lead with our solution. We want to lead to our solution by offering value and insights and really moving from what I want to share to what they want to consume. And we're going to talk more about that as this webinar goes on. So what does it take, right? So, well, let's go. Do you guys know, and put in chat if you're like, yes, if you know, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. If you know that phrase in chat, put a little Y, go, yeah, I know that. And you can actually either send it to just the panelists or everyone. If you take that drop down and share it to everyone, then everyone gets to see your answers. So it'll say panelists and attendees. Yeah, so lots of you know this. Know, like, and trust. It was coined by my buddy, Bob Berg, who was a co-author in The Go-Giver, which is a wonderful book, but he also wrote this book, Endless Referrals. And that's where this phrase came to life. But when in this new world, when, you know, in the old world, we know them at a business card exchange, at a conference, at a trade show, we show up, we get to know people. In the digital world, we have to attract, teach, and engage before we ever get to know. So we have to make sure they see us. We have to teach them something new and get engagement. So it starts with your profile. And we're going to do this in a few sections. The first one is, how do we position your profile to actually attract, teach, and engage, right? When they get there, now they get to start to know you. Well, we have to shift it from a resume to a resource. If everything in your profile is, you know, I hit 120% of quota, I'm a fabulous negotiator, right? You're going to chase your prospects away. We need to show up, and instead of this being a pitch deck where it's like, we help companies do this and we have to tell them how we help them in the experience. But before the experience, actually, and we'll go through this, there are opportunities where we can show up as a resource. So immediately they know that you are of value to them. And while I'm probably jumping ahead on this stat, because I'm sure there's a slide in here somewhere, I'm going to throw it out anyway. Corporate Visions did a study that said 74% of buyers choose the sales rep that was first to provide value and insights. I like to make sales rep banker, right? But they chose the banker, right? It's not on rate. It's on value and insights. And it starts with your profile. So what's the goal of your profile? First, it needs to resonate with your potential customer. They need to know you serve them. It needs to create curiosity. If you don't get them leaning in and reading, they're gone. They're bored. They've left. We need to teach them something new. We said at the top of the hour, our biggest competitor is status quo. So if everything you're talking about is something they already know, there's no need to make a change. So we have to teach them something that gets them thinking differently about their current banking situation or banking relationship or a lack of banking relationship, right? We've got to get them leaning in and going, I never realized I could have that. I never knew that was an option. Boy, that would really help my business expand quickly. If we can get that going, it will get them asking for more, raising their hand and saying, yes, I want to talk with this banker. If we don't do this, the chances that it converts to a conversation is very slim. But when we resonate, create curiosity, teach them something new and get them thinking differently, we are now earning the right to get that conversation. So let's go through some practicalities here. Who you help, headline, 220 characters, by the way. Who you help, how you help them, the results you bring, and what you do or the services, right? So mine, it would not pique curiosity, would be CEO at Social Sales Link. What will resonate with the right buyer I have is transforming the way sales professionals grow their business by converting connections to conversation. So let's just think about this right now. For you guys, I want you to come away from my headline and let's look at your headline, right? Who do you help? Small business owners in the greater Essex area. Who do you help? How do you help them? Helping small business owners get the capital that they need to meet their business goals. So now we covered who you help, how you help them get the capital they need, the results you bring to help them meet their lofty business goals. Then what do you do? Treasury services, commercial lending, real estate lending, lines of credit, right? Now you've created curiosity, right? Like I provide capital that gets me to where I need to go. I have some lofty goals. I'm leaning in, right? So once we do that, we get them interested enough to keep reading. But if we start talking about us now, it's almost a bait and switch, right? It's almost like, oh, now I got to read their bio. You haven't earned the right for them to care about your bio. We will get there, but you have to earn the right. So instead of talking about your mission, your vision, your years in business, let's make this about section a gift for them. This is where resource can really, one of two places where resource can really come in. So start with the challenge they're facing. Small business owners coming out of the pandemic are struggling to grow based on lack of cash flow. That might be one, right? Think about what is the overarching challenge that you are solving in your marketplace. Then offer banker agnostic insights. This means that the value you bring them is not connected to talking to you or working with you. So it might be, you know, one of the challenges is that credit scores have dropped significantly because of lack of cash flow. Here are three things you can do to quickly increase that credit score. That's a resource, right? That's just an example to think through it, right? Then, now they're like, oh, that was good. Briefly share how you can help. A call to action. So if you know you are excited about the future, but need capital to get there, let's chat. Make sure you've got your contact information there. Yep.
Bryn, I want to amplify this. This is really interesting. So one of the things you've taught me is you've got to be engaged on LinkedIn. So I'm on LinkedIn quite a lot. So I get bankers messaging me and say, hey, what do you think of this content? So I had this banker last week, and she sent out 5 pieces of content, one a day, which I think is great. So that thought leadership that you're going to talk about a little bit later. But every single one of them was about the bank. And so she said, well, what do you think? And I said, look, think about this as a business owner. What are business owners facing? A, hiring great talent and retaining great talent. How has your strategic plan changed given the fact that we were hit in the mouth over the past year? How has that changed? How are you marketing effectively in a digital kind of space? So she said, I never thought of it that way. And what I always say is get around to the other side of the desk, because when you start to think like a business owner, you're going to find content that's going to be relevant to a business owner. And you and I can debate, and we talk about this all the time, about LinkedIn groups, but it shocks me that one of the top business LinkedIn groups is CFO Network. There are hundreds of thousands of CFOs in that network. Last week, and I'm doing a study on this, Bryn, it's a secret project.
Oh, I'm excited.
Last week, there were 320 posts on CFO Network. That's a lot. And a lot of them are surveys and studies and how a CFO can become a CEO. Those are the kind of things that as a banker, I need to be putting out on my network. And that's something you've taught me.
So I love that. Yeah. And it starts, and this is a really good transition into the featured section, because we can take some of that content and not just put it on the news feed on our, you know, as a post, but we can actually semi-permanently connect some of that thought leadership to our profile. And I mean, this is dynamic. So I say semi-permanently, this should be, you know, news that's, you know, relevant to the moment. But on this is the scroll stopper. So if you go to Jack's profile or my profile, when you start scrolling down, there's visual imagery in the featured section. And so we call this the scroll stopper, right? This is an opportunity to highlight the content that Jack was just talking about. And you can actually attach posts to your featured section. Articles, if you are a writer and you can blog right inside of LinkedIn and connect this to your profile. You can link out to YouTube or to blog posts on the bank's on the bank's website as well. And you can upload media. Now, be careful. Typically when we upload media, this is usually more pitch oriented. Usually the media, it's like a one sheeter on features or products, right? So just be careful and make sure if you do upload something, it's more like an ebook or a checklist. A checklist is a great thing to upload, right? Like, so it might be, you know, the checklist before applying for a line of credit. That's a great resource for sure. Or, I mean, there are so many things that Jack talked about. Maybe it's, you know, five ways to recover cash flow post-pandemic, right? So I love that. So the featured section, this is to be careful that it's not a pitch. Ask yourself, is the content a resource? Does it create curiosity or get them thinking differently about their current situation? Is it moving your prospect closer to your solution? It's not leading with your solution, but it's getting them closer. So those checklists could be a good thing, right? Will it create raised hands? So is this content getting them to say, I need this, I want this, right? That's really important. Ooh, so we have just finished the first section of the, and we have so much more to go. This is, we've gone through the profile. We've got the networking and the content section to go, but we want to share with you, and I'm really excited about our upcoming program together. We've done this before and it has been a smash hit. Jack, share a little bit about this program that we have coming up.
Well, the first one sold out in about 3 days. I got an email this morning from a banker who said, can Bryn Tillman come into our bank either face-to-face or virtually and do a program for our entire bank? The answer is, of course, we're doing that almost every week of our lives with Bryn, given her very busy schedule. But one of the things people have asked is, okay, I need more Bryn. I need to take a deeper dive into this. So without going into a whole lot of detail, from September 27th to November 1st, once a week for several weeks, 6 weeks, Bryn is going to go into detail about all the things that she's talking about here today, from profile, resume to resource, all the way down through and including something on what I believe is the best prospecting tool ever, and that's Sales Navigator. And then the last week is an office hour with Bryn. Anybody that joins the webinar is going to be able to get to Bryn, do some group coaching with Bryn, and get some individualized attention within a group, of course. And we're going to charge $397 per banker for this. It sold out the last time, and it was a fabulous hit. But for those of you on the program today, if you decide you want to do this, all you have to do is message me, let me know you're on the webinar. And for you and any, you know, you want to sign up individually and get a group of your bankers one-on-one to do this, $297 per banker, and Bryn's going to be with you. And we're really, really excited about this. So if you want to register, message me on LinkedIn. There's my email address. We'll take care of all the details and hopefully we'll see you in September. It should be fun, Bryn.
Oh my gosh, I love this. This is my favorite course. And what I really love about this is because, you know, we used to do this, Jack, we did this together. We used to do this in like a day and a half or a 2 day workshop. You know, we have now broken this up, and why I love this so much is it's in these bite-sized pieces. So you'll learn, and then for a week you'll get to implement, and you can come back, and we'll open at the end of all of our sessions. We'll have some Q&A, so you know we can review where you are on things. And so we're watching huge successes with the 6 week program. It's just been great. So excited to have you guys join us. Oh, we have the experience section. Oh, we do have a little bit more on profile, but two more slides on profile. Really quickly, your story is more important than your resume. People connect with human beings. Tell your story, show your personality. And instead of talking about what you do, talk about how you help. Then talk about the bank. Then talk about the solutions. This is now like you're at a networking meeting. People want to see your personality and get to know you. And last, recommendations. It is so important to get case studies and recommendations. It's vital for social proof. And in the course, we talk a lot about how do you position yourself to get those recommendations the right way. Now we're going to move into using your network, engaging your network. And as you may know, when you know, and I'm just going to review this quickly, with your network, first there's you, right? This is your profile. And you know, this is everything we just talked about. But then there's your first degree connections. These are the people that you've mutually agreed to connect with. We have been ignoring a lot of them, and we'll talk about that. Then there's your second degree connections, the connections of your connections. To me, this is what makes LinkedIn the most powerful sales tool in the world. It is absolutely phenomenal. And we'll get to that in a little bit, but let's start with, before we dive into reaching out, know who you want to talk to and what they want to hear. So this is a little social listening. Go listen to your first degree connections and your second degree connections. And you know, on LinkedIn, there's listen with your ears and listen with your eyes, right? We want to read, what are they engaging on? What is their, you know, what is their company page sharing? What hashtags have they used or that have they engaged with? When we start to learn about what matters to them, it helps us engage a lot better. We also want to know, who do we want to have a conversation with? Often as bankers, we say, we want a conversation with business owners and CFOs, and we leave it at that. But on LinkedIn, obviously, there are current clients, and we'll talk more about that. Past clients. So I actually, just before this webinar, I did a webinar with the gentleman who focuses on winning back old clients, right? It was a win back strategy. So we definitely want to talk to past clients, especially clients that we've worked with that are now at new companies. Prospects, obviously. Referral partners are a big one. And my guess, and I'd love to see in chat, if you get a lot of your business from referral partners, put an R in chat and let everyone see it. And most of you did just panelists only. If you click on that panelist, you could do panelists and attendees, and then everyone can see your R, because we've got lots of engagement, but only Jack and I can see it. So that's awesome. So referral partners, right? We're going to talk about, how do we leverage those referral partners better? Community leaders. This is a big one that we'll talk about, and centers of influence. So what conversations do you have with prospects? When we are proactively reaching out to prospects, we are not pitching the bank. We want to provide value and insight. So make sure, and we'll go through this a little bit more at the end, but make sure the conversation that we're having with them is of value to them, not of value to you. We have to initially detach from what that customer is going to be worth to us and attach to what we are worth to that customer. That's how we will attract them. And we'll talk about ideas to do that. What do we want? Oh, this should be, what do we want from clients? It says prospects up there, but it's really clients. So what conversations do we want with clients? We want more business, internal introductions. So external introductions, recommendations, and vendor introductions. So more business is obvious, right? Are there other, in the words of Jack, where can we cross solve inside of that company? Internal introductions. We know from LinkedIn, there is a 20% turnover inside of our clients year over year. So one out of five of your clients is, your client is leaving, especially if you're working with the CFO over the CEO. CFOs have a very high rate of turnover. So we need to make sure that we are socially surrounding ourselves inside of that company. So if a new CFO comes in, they're not bringing in their bank, that there's some loyalty to you and the value you've brought. External introductions, this is the big one from our clients. But here's the thing that we normally do. We normally say, hey, Mr. Client, who do you know that you can introduce me to? And they go, I can't think of anyone right now. So with LinkedIn, we can find out, we can search and filter their connections and make a list of people and proactively run through names with them and get some introductions. We want recommendations and case studies. We talked about that just briefly on our profile, but that's social proof of the value we bring. And one of my favorites is vendor introductions. Who is your client working with today that could ultimately be a referral partner for you tomorrow? And what do we do with them? We go to LinkedIn. First, we meet them and have a normal conversation and build rapport. And then we search their connections and say, hey, Jack, I noticed you're connected to quite a few people on LinkedIn I'd love to get in front of. Can we hop on a quick Zoom call? I can run these names by you and get your insights. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, I forgot about that guy. That would be good for you. And we can start to build real powerful relationships using LinkedIn to amplify and that relationship and get targeted, not just reacting to referrals, but proactively going after them.
And you know, Bryn, it's really interesting. We've got the great Scott McComb, who runs a fabulous bank in Ohio, near the Columbus, Ohio area, Heartland Bank. We've got Michelle up at Dart Bank. Tom Carlson, who's a great business banking manager at Capital One. And I've trained a lot of these bankers that are on. And one of the things that's interesting is every banker has data and information. If you're going to make a loan to somebody, you have their receivables, you have their clients, you have every, you know, their suppliers. So go to a client meeting, one-on-one or virtual, and look at the information that you have. Pick out those prospects, maybe go see them on LinkedIn, look at their profile, and be ready when you go to a client meeting. If a client is happy with you, my goodness, why wouldn't they want to share that information with you, Bryn? It's so, and that's what makes LinkedIn so powerful, is that connection between information and conversation.
Absolutely, I love that. And the next one, this should say community partners or community leaders. So what conversations do we want to have with them? We want to meet members, volunteer, participate in advance, offer to share your expertise. You would be remiss. I mean, the chambers of commerce right now they're dying for content. And so many of their small businesses really need some help with their finances and their cash flow. Offer to speak to groups. You know, your expertise has never been more important than now. And that's how you'll build a reputation inside with these community members. And by the way, you know, I have grown so much of my business from initially back when I started my business almost eight years ago, through the chambers of commerce, but not just because I showed up to events and I volunteered to be an ambassador and I participated in events, but because I would go through the directory and say to the president, hey, do you think this is someone I should talk to? How about this person, right? So we can do that on LinkedIn too, right? So really, you want to leverage those community partners. Let's go into our network now, because this to me, and I'm going to just quickly tell you a story of my client who she, in the middle of the pandemic, did what we're about to teach you, which is she took inventory of her first degree connections. And we're going to teach you exactly how to do this in just a minute. And she went through her first degree connections and saw one of her old clients was at a new company. And this is like everything was shut down. And by the way, she's a recruiter. So the worst business to be in during the pandemic when everybody's being laid off. And so she sees, and she had an enormous amount of her staff laid off. So she noticed that this old client is now at a new company, reached out and closed at the time a $1.5 million deal, which is now up to $3 million, when nobody else was moving. And it was simply because she took inventory of her existing connections. So how do we do this? The first thing, export your connections into an Excel spreadsheet. You can take a quick screenshot of this if you'd like. These are the steps. I highly recommend that you do that, or you can reach out to me afterwards and I'll be happy to send you the steps, but take the screenshot, export your connections into an Excel spreadsheet. This will give you everyone, starting with the newest connection. So it's in date order of how you connected. And you'll get first name, last name, job title, company page, and the date, company name and the date you connected. Now, we call this conducting CPR on your connections. put on the left-hand column. Yes, it's to bring them back to life, but put a left-hand column on your Excel spreadsheet and mark C for client, P for prospect, R for referral partner. And take the time to say, hey, who am I connected to that I should be talking to? And Michelle Vincent, that was my client, sent me an email that said, thank you. Her commission paid for her daughter's college tuition. She's like, thank you for paying for my daughter's commission, right? My daughter's college. So think about, this is huge. If you take nothing else away from today, do this and then make sure you're reaching out appropriately. You can also search them by title, keywords, location, relationship, industry, company, and so much more. And we're going to go deep into how to search in our upcoming course and really leverage this ability to do this. So what conversations, we have the same topic, but this is with what conversation, what can we use to start conversations? We can use things, and we're not going to talk that, we're just going to touch on this briefly, but kudos is a public thank you for doing a job well done. You can endorse them. Engage on their content, give them a gift of content, ask them their point of view. We do this with polls a lot, get some great engagement. You can interview them and get their insights, and you can even engage with them on video on the mobile device. So that's our first degree connections. How are we engaging with them? Next, we want to talk about leveraging our second degree connections. So there's our client referrals, our networking introductions, and permission to name drop, which covers over both. So let's just review this, because this would be the second thing I'd say could go away with, even though obviously all of it is important. But we talked a lot about searching our connections. It's really about coming down to the top 15 or 20 people that your client and your networking partners know. And it's about having the right conversation with them that converts to conversations. But here's the thing. I want to do this in volume. If I'm going to have a conversation with a client, I don't want to run one name by them. I want to quickly run 20, 25 names by them. But we can't always ask for an introductions into lots of those. So we want to talk about what my favorite thing is, permission to name drop. So what happens is, like, it looks a little bit like this. Jack, I am so glad we've been able to help you get the credit line you needed to help you get the inventory so that you can expand your business and you are on track to meet all of those goals. I noticed you're connected to quite a few people on LinkedIn that I'd love to get in front of. Can I run these names by you? You're like, yeah, sure, Bryn, of course. I go quickly. So how about Jane and Fred and Ann? And 26 names becomes 8 people that Jack says, these would be great for you. So I can say, is there any one of these 6 that, or 8, I forget what number I said, 8. Is there any of these 8 that you'd be comfortable making an introduction to? And you might say, oh yeah, these 2. Now I have 6. So thank you so much for those 2. When I reach out to the other 6, would it be okay if I mention that you're my client and we had this conversation and you thought I should talk to them? Yes, absolutely. Great. So we are going to assume the conversation and we are definitely not going to pitch to them, but we're going to create an insight. But we have to maintain, I have to make sure that when I get off this call after Jack referred me in, that they're thanking Jack, right? We have to keep that relationship intact, but we can assume the conversation. Jack is, referred me to Fred. Fred is going to take my call simply because Jack asked him to. We had this conversation, whittled it down to the people Jack said would take my call. You invite them to connect and visit your profile, because if you've set up your profile as a resource, that's going to get them more excited. It will resonate, teaching them something new, getting them more excited to have that conversation. You're going to schedule the time to chat. You're assuming they want to talk to you because Jack said. You're going to begin to go, how do you know Jack? Yeah, we've been buddies for a long time. I've been to his trainings. Let's have this normal conversation based around our shared connection. And then you ask them, what would you, you know, when you took this call, was there anything specific you were hoping we were going to cover? And you're going to say, no, I just got on the phone because Jack said, okay, great. Remember, this is not an opportunity to pitch the bank. This is where we can add questions that lead to aha moments. So you can say, hey, I'd really be happy to share some insights. You know, tell me a little bit of what's going on in your business. You know, even if we don't work together, I've got some ideas on how businesses are quickly recovering after this crazy pandemic. Ask some questions and be prepared to provide lots of insights. And you may say, hey, I'm giving away free consultation. It's okay, because you're earning their business. You're earning the right. So just be a resource. Detach from what they're worth to you and attach to what you're worth to them. When you can provide extreme value, you will create connection and business. Then this is the bridge, permission to share a case study. You know, it's great to talk with you about some of the things I hear you're going through. I was working with another CEO a couple of weeks back, similar to this. Can I share with you what the bank is doing with them? Don't use the name without permission, but a general case study. And that's how you bridge it from being a resource to be able to share how you can help them. You're going to recap, if you know the old saying, this is, you know, tell them what you're going to tell them what you told them, right? And ask them if they'd like to explore working with you the same way that other CEO did that you just talked. And that's the transition from a first call into a sales call. I knew I jumped ahead with this stat, but as we're coming, we just have a couple more minutes here, maybe, you know, and then we're going to open it up for Q&A. But content to conversations, I know I said this earlier, 74% of buyers choose a sales rep that was first to add value and insight. We have to add value and insight. How do we do this? We can curate content, which is finding content. You can curate content using a vertical IQ, for example, or even, you know, Google Alerts or Googling content. There are lots of ways to find content that starts conversations. We can create content, and typically bankers don't love to create content, but we can. And content isn't whole entire blog posts. It could be ideas that you're sharing, tips. And we talk a lot about capturing your genius in the course. And how do we take what the value you're already bringing to your customers and capturing that and using that to engage others? And sharing their own, your prospect, not the bank's content, but sharing the prospect's content back with them. We get it to them in two ways. The newsfeed, which is how most people think of sharing content. But where I see the most value is the inbox. We get it directly to them. So this is starting conversation with curated content. I recently came across an article on ABC and I thought, as CEO in the XYZ industry, you might get some value from it. Now talk about your takeaways. Now, and this isn't your content, this is curated content that you found. We love Vertical IQ because you can go and pinpoint exactly into specific industry content, makes it really easy to find content that you, a particular industry would be interested in. But here were some of the insights I got. Now look what I just did. I did not send the link. If you're interested, let me know. I'd be happy to send you a link. Three reasons why. Number one, we did a study. We sent 100 with the link and 100 with permission to send the link. The first 100 that we sent the link, we got 19 click-throughs, and I was really impressed. The second one, and remember, these are already our existing connections. This is who we're sending this to, people we're connected to re-engage. The second group, we sent 100 to, 69 said, yes, please send it. And 58 of them clicked through when we sent it. Why? So that's first, the study, the data, there's science and data behind it. Number two, I believe it's because they did not feel spammed. We did not send an unwanted link. And number three, FOMO, fear of missing out. If you send a link, they can always go back and click anytime. But if they don't have the link, they can't ever click through. So that's why I think it's really important. Starting in the conversation from their own content. This is, I Googled the company and I went to the news on Google. And it's the bigger the company, the more there's going to be. But I recently came across an article congratulating your company for the community service they did over the last few months and was quite impressed. I'm not sure if you had a chance to read it yet, as I often find CEOs can miss their own press. Either way, I thought I'd send it to you. Now send the link. It's their content. So, wow, we went through a lot. Where are we now? 3:46. So the first thing is, if you found value in this, put a V. If you're like, man, you mastered the ask offer ratio. I just invested 47 minutes here and it was definitely value. In chat, put if you got value from this. If you thought, man, that was a good use of my time. So one of three things are going to happen now. Oh, we got some exclamation points there. I love that. Number one, you're like, that was a great hour or 45 minutes, but I'll probably do nothing with it. And some of you may say, you know what? I've got enough business. I don't need new ways to fill my pipeline. And it was great to learn a little bit, but I'm good exactly where my business is today. The next one is, that was awesome information. I got it and I'm ready to run with it. I learned enough from today that I am ready to go out and master LinkedIn. And some of you that may be in a place where like, I took my notes and I know exactly what to do now. But most of you will probably fall here, which is I need some guidance to master LinkedIn to grow my banking business. This is where many of you probably are today. And if this is where you are, let's hop back into talking about this course that's coming up in September. So Jack, you want to talk again about this? Yeah.
Yeah, Prin, one of the things that has pleased me over my six decades of banking is that people, you know, they go to class with me and they'll say, you know, Jack, I really trust you. You're a very transparent guy. We appreciate that. And I was very honored by Trust Magazine to be named one of the 100 most trusted business owners in America. That's quite an honor. So I have to continue to earn that trust every day. And one of the things that I'm most proud of is that we don't pitch a lot of stuff to our clients when we send out content, things like that. But this is different because I think as we come out of this pandemic and we get back into face-to-face selling, I still think that there is a huge place for this content, this LinkedIn approach, as a blended approach to mm-hmm. conversations. And so bankers are always wanting to know more. So here's the deal. For the first 50 people that email me, message me on LinkedIn and say, I'd like to join you on a more of a deep journey. And when I say you, I mean Brin. Join Brin on a deeper journey around profiling, engaging the right people, content creation, prospecting, networking, and then of course, Sales Navigator, and that 1 hour with Brin as a group coaching situation. You want to do that for $297? We're going to market this coming up very, very shortly here. It'll be $397, and this program is going to sell out. So if you want it for $100 off and you want to take a deeper dive, you want to spend a little more time with Brin, email me, message me, and I can tell you this, I'm going to be on the program because every day I listen to this amazing lady, I learn more about what you can do on LinkedIn. So I appreciate it, Brin, and I'm sure there are a couple of questions here. I have one that's come up in the private chat. So you made a great statement really early on, and this is my first question. We only have a few minutes for questions. You said it's really important to provide content based on what they want to consume. Mm-hmm. The question is, great comment. How do I know what kind of content they may want to consume?
Yeah, and it really comes down to social listening. I think that's something that we all miss. We miss it in the real world even more, but on LinkedIn or Twitter or their company page or Google Alerts, we can set it up, find out what the priorities are for the organization. Often it's out there. What content are they engaging? And there's a little thing that we're going to teach that some of our bankers have had enormous success with, which is polls. Let's ask them. Let's find out what the priority is for them. So it's really about just slowing it down, doing a little research, asking your clients, just say, is there any particular website or blog that you follow? Is there a podcast that you love and you listen to? Are there webinars from any companies that you like? Like, ask, you know, and they'll tell you. Podcasts are huge right now. I think Jack and I have both been on one of my favorites, which is Larry Levine, Selling from the Heart. You were on way before I was. I'm like, I'm jealous, but then I
got yeah, but you did better than I did.
Oh no. yours was great. But you know, so many people say are consuming podcasts. You can share a podcast. Hey, you mentioned you can even do this with a client. You know, when we talked a few months ago and you mentioned that I should be listening to this podcast, I don't know if you heard this one with Jack Hubbard, but it was awesome. I'd love to send you a link. Let me know. You already know they're listening to that, but other people like them might get value from that too.
Yeah, it's great. I have a personal question. It's really more of a comment, but I'd love you to comment on it. One of the things I noticed from one of the things that you talked about this week, it might've been your live program or some content that you wrote. It said, when you engage on someone's content, don't just comment and say, boy, I agree, Bryn, that was fabulous. Add an insight of your own. Can you talk about that? I thought that was a really important thing to say.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of different ways to do this, but let's say you find what we call magnets. These are people that are talking about a subject that is attracting your small business owners or your CFOs or the people. So once we find them, we want to have smart comments back to not just to the author, but to the commenters. So I think that, I mean, there's so many things I talk about this. I think this is the one you're referring to, but there are others. So let's say, you know, I look at that magnet as a keynote speaker, and all of the people that are commenting are the people that came to watch and listen to that keynote speaker. So I want to have conversations with them. And this is an exact example is, hey, I see we're both fans of Jack Hubbard's content. Have you seen his Jack rant? I'd love to send you a link if you're interested, right? You can have conversations about that keynote. But it's not just about conversations with the author. It's about conversing in the comments. The other thing is to ask a question back. So if you posted something and someone said, nice post, ask the question, what was your number one takeaway? What is your insight around this? So there are lots of things to do that, you know, including your additional insights, questions. Go beyond nice or great post, like start thinking about this as a conversation.
So let me give you a couple of other things too. Number one, I sign up for, and I think you're the same way, Bryn, I sign up for a lot of podcasts and webinars every week, and I attend very few because during the day, we always used to call it face-to-face, nose-to-nose, ear-to-ear, belly-to-belly time, right? But in the evening and on the weekends, there are some things you can kind of scroll through the podcast and really get to the important content. So I think one of the things that I always advise bankers is register for the podcasts and send information to a first degree connection or someone that you think would benefit from it. Say, hey, I just registered for this webinar and podcast on hiring great talent. I know you're interested. Now, whether they ever sign up or not, they know that you care enough about them to send that. And I think that's a differentiation point, don't you think?
Yes, they love that. Yeah. I love that.
The other thing that you recommended to me, and I know you'll talk about this in the uh, in the public workshop is when the pandemic hit, one of the first people I talked to was Bryn. And I always want to find out, you know, how you doing? How's everything going? And then it's, okay, what are you going to do? And one of the things that she suggested to us as a company, which we were really successful with, is to video message people. Reach out to your first degree connections and just say, look, you got between 6 seconds and a minute. Reach out to them and say, hey, just want to let you know we're okay. We want to know, are you okay? Is there anything we can be doing, et cetera, et cetera? Or reach out, figure out something of value that you can leave on that video message, because a lot of voicemails aren't returned, a lot of emails aren't returned, and whether they ever return your video message or not, they've gotten it. You know they have it, Bryn, and I'll bet you send a lot of those out.
I do, and we're over 90% response. Sometimes the response is, how'd you do that? But that's okay, I started a conversation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I used to tell people, call five people at night, leave a very high impact 20-second voicemail, they'll call you back. Mm-hmm. The challenge is that a lot of people are still working from home. And that's where that video messages on messaging on LinkedIn can be really, really powerful.
I agree.
That's great.
Fun. I can't wait for our class.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Well, I know you're probably on to another webinar or two that you're leading. I know our bankers are on to other things. One of the things I always look at when I'm attending a webinar is how many people stayed on till the end, you know, and we had about 80%, 85% of people staying on till the end. That tells me there's great interest in this subject and you did a fabulous job covering it. So any final comments, Bryn, before we take leave of each other and all these great bankers today?
Yeah, I'm excited to work with these great bankers in our upcoming class, and keep in mind, so it's the first 50. But if you have, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 bankers inside of your, you know, inside of your bank that you want to get in, just email Jack. That it's not just you on the webinar that can get this, the first 50. It's, you know, if you bring as many from your bank as you can, we're happy to have you. And if you decide that this is something you'd rather do individually, maybe you have 30 or 40 bankers, email Jack on that as well.
That's great. Well, thank you, Bryn. It's great to see you as always. Bryn and I do a lot of partnering together, but it's about when we're on webinars together, it's about the only time we ever get a chance to talk. So thank you very much for your time, Bryn. Thank you all for being with us today. We'll talk to you next time. And don't forget about this public webinar. Thanks so much, everybody. Thank you, Bryn.